This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Diana Rossini was on the Rich Eisen show yesterday. Here's what she had to say about what she's hearing about Travis Kelce maybe leaning in a certain direction.
You know, I can tell you from just having a few conversations with people around the league over the last few days, there's definitely a sense that Travis is going to try to play more. I haven't heard anyone say, yeah, he's really struggling with what he wants to do. It's definitely leaning more towards that. That can, of course, change. This is going to be his decision only. But for this Chiefs operation looking to move forward here, I think they feel pretty good that Travis has got a little bit more left in him.
That's Diana Rossini, well-connected, well-respected, of course, in the NFL world. That's the first, really, report we've had since that video of anybody maybe, I'm not saying she talked to Kelce himself, but talked to people maybe around him or within the Chiefs organization and their belief. We said at the time of Kelce's comments, he clearly is considering retirement, obviously, but as time goes on and we get closer to the middle of March, I think the longer it goes on and we don't hear that he's made a decision to retire, of course, the better it gets. Like, you get out of negative 5-degree Kansas City for a little bit. You go to a beach somewhere. You enjoy the warm weather. Your body hopefully starting to feel a little bit better. The sting of the loss, I'm not saying it ever goes away, but hopefully, you know, it lessens a little bit. And then you say, man, I don't want to go out that way. I want to be with my guys, all this kind of stuff. Hearing that, and then as time goes on, I think we'll end up seeing Travis Kelce come back. But that was an update from Diana Rossini on Travis Kelce and maybe what he's thinking at this time.
Yeah, I mean, it's none of us can get inside the mind of a player like Travis, but you know, you can look back at previous instances of him talking about his career and, you know, when he wants to get out of the sport. We know that he's got a plan once his time is done. That has become very, very obvious. He's become a very popular man in television and things nowadays, but Travis has always talked like a guy who was, and he said it, I mean, he has said verbatim that he's ready to play the game of football until the wheels fall off. I mean, that is the way that he's described it. This season did not look like a man who had the wheels falling off, right? Is he the same player he was 5 years ago? No, he's a little bit slower. He's a little bit heavier, right? He's maybe a little bit less prepared for the bumps and bruises and the knocks that come with playing in the National Football League. But he's certainly still a very serviceable player in the National Football League. I think he's still a top 10 tight end in this league. Is he the best tight end in football? Maybe not anymore, but that's not to say that he still can't play this game and play it at a very high level. I think, yeah, he was incredible when he needed to be, and when he wasn't asked to be, I think that was a benefit to him. The Chiefs shouldn't look at him as the number one weapon on this offense anymore, and he shouldn't look at himself as the number one weapon anymore. If he can come to grips with that, then he should have no problem coming out next year and being incredibly successful again.
I think any great athlete, one of the challenges, of course, recognizing that, hey, you're no longer the exact same player that you once were and everything, and that's true. But I also think last year he already expected that to be the case, and then Rashee Rice gets hurt, and all of a sudden he's forced to be the number one option in the offense again. And that's why the targets were way up. I actually think fairly early on, we've discussed this, if it wasn't for the Rice injury, I think Travis Kelce would have been like the third option, second option in this offense for a bulk of the season. But ultimately, injuries happen, and they leaned on the guy that's been the best tight end in NFL history. I understand it. So I'm not worried about, like, his decision, to me, will not just be like, oh, I don't know if I want to be the third option. I think he was already maybe accepting of that going into last season. Remember, if we're being honest with the contract that he signed, when he signed that 2-year extension, I think most people thought, oh, okay, well, now we know he's going to play out these 2 years, and then that's it. And then as the season went on, because the yards per catch were only like 8 yards or so, which was certainly a drop off from where he had been, everybody just now like started talking more and more about retirement, because the more and more the relationship with Taylor Swift got serious, I think, and everything like that. But what happened to, I don't know, 7 months ago when everybody was like, oh, well, yeah, he's going to finish out the final 2 years. Then magically, like, everybody just assumed that maybe he's going to be done. That, to me, was a national narrative that was created a little bit. And then when the Super Bowl happens and you don't three-peat and your team gets beat up the way they did, I think it's less likely for him to retire because of that performance. Now, the text line is alluding to the contract in the financials. I've said this. If he comes back, I don't think he can come back at $19 million. And that means adding an additional year or converting some money. I don't think that cap hit can be $19 million. If Travis Kelce is going to be the third option in this offense or fourth for his final year, because I think no doubt it would be his final year at that point, it can't be a $19 million cap hit.
No, without question.
Which is what it is right now.
Right. And I don't know. I mean, if this is Travis's last year, I don't know how you put an extra year on it and convert some of that money over. That would be a question. It's fascinating to me because, you know, I feel like a lot of people, myself included, have forgotten about, you know, during media week at the Super Bowl where he's like, well, I hope I can play 2 or 3 more years. And then they lose the game and everybody kind of takes a step back. And you're right. There's always going to be a narrative that follows around this situation. I mean, it feels, and a lot of it is derived from national media and people that are tired of watching the Chiefs win, I think, in a lot of respects. You know, last year it was, oh, is Andy Reid going to hang it up or blah, 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 blah. No, this might be it for Travis or this or that and the other. It's wishful thinking on the part of many, I think. I have always said that I felt like Travis was going to come back. And you're right, that $19 million is a lot. And if you can find a way to navigate that in a way that it is less taxing on the team's overall salary cap, that's great. I think for his production and his years of service, and maybe this is just me being an unabashed Chiefs fan, but I don't want to take money away from the guy, honestly, for what he's provided and what he was for the bulk of his career and how wildly underpaid he was for a good chunk of that.
But you don't have to do that. You know what I mean? Like you can, as you point, I mean, you can lower the cap hit without, quote,
yeah,
unquote,
convert it into
money,
a roster bonus or performance incentives
and my
or whatever.
Guess is if there was a player, ownership would be willing to have to pony up some cash, straight cash early to convert that. Clark Hunt, this is a player that you know, you're talking about the greatest tight end of NFL history.
Yeah, he's earned it.
Someone that's, yeah, I mean, a legend in this town and all of that. He's earned the right to come back, which is why I thought it was crazy. I don't know if you guys saw Ian Rappaport put out last night notable cut candidates across the NFL. Do you know who they listed as one? Obviously, I bring it up so you guys know the answer now, but Travis Kelce. I think it's ridiculous. It mentions, of course, the cap savings, right? If they cut him, 17.3. Here's the thing. Travis Kelce's either not playing football or he's playing for the Kansas City Chiefs in his final year.
Exactly.
That is it. Like the last sentence kind of made me laugh out loud in this article. It said, this would be crazy, but Kansas City has split with legendary tight ends amid solid production before. See Tony Gonzalez. Totally different circumstance. I mean, one, for starters, Tony Gonzalez was not considering retiring at that time. They also traded him. So they didn't cut him. They traded him to
the
Atlanta.
They weren't winning.
They weren't winning, okay? That was also a different general manager and a different head coach, and they weren't in the middle of a dynasty. That example sucks. Like, that's a bad comparison. It really does. It's a terrible comp.
Yeah, it's a non-starter. None of that applies. I think, you know, Tony might have been a little bit. I mean, they might have been around the same age.
I thought Tony was. I thought Tony was like 31 or 32, yeah. But he wasn't considering retirement. He just wanted to get to the playoffs and win a ring.
Yeah, he wanted to go win. And you're right. The fact that it's a trade versus a cut makes this conversation moot right off the bat. What Travis has provided the franchise in terms of winning, what he's provided Mahomes.
33. He was 33.
Okay, so he's a little bit younger than Travis is now. Yeah, I don't think that comparison is applicable at all. In any sense of the word, it doesn't apply because Travis has won 3 Super Bowls as the number one weapon. The quarterback, the franchise player, the face of the league is the guy's best friend. He has a absolutely stout relationship with the front office and with the ownership group and his relationship with Andy. He will retire before they cut him.
Of course.
No question.
There's no scenario where if he's playing football still, he's not playing for the Chiefs. So it's retirement or he comes back to Kansas City. That article I saw last night was ridiculous to suggest that he's a cut candidate. And that's why I bring up the $19 million cap hit, though. I do think there has to be some work on that if and when he comes back. But Diana Rossini maybe making you feel a little bit better if you're a Chiefs fan that wants Travis Kelce back in a Chiefs uniform moving forward.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.